Welcome to the Do Weekly Podcast, a weekly challenge podcast for small business owners
by small business owners.
I'm Natalie MacLeese.
And I'm Alex Vasquez, the 1400th.
Stop cheating.
I'm not cheating. There's been a lot of me. I'm kind of a big deal. I've been replicated a lot. But I am my mom's favorite copy. That's what she tells me every day that she wakes me up, dresses me, and feeds me cereal.
It took 1,400 copies to get a good one?
You know what? My mom's a bit of a perfectionist. So, yeah, a little bit. It kind of took that much. So, Natalie, how the heck are you?
I am doing pretty well, just getting over a cold, so I might sound a little nasally.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that cold, so I might sound a little like I belong on the radio. 88.9 KPCC. This
People
is NPR.
People on the radio sound like they're coming down with a cold?
Well, I don't know how to answer that question, Natalie. Why do you ask me such complex things that I don't have, like, a quick answer for?
I don't. Why do you say such weird things?
Natalie, I'm sorry for how I am. Okay, I feel like I've said this multiple times this week. I just need you to love me as I am.
Well, I don't need you to be so apologetic. I do love you as you are.
Well, good. You're supposed to. And I thank you. Now, last week, we had a challenge. A riveting challenge, as it were. And it was something that I hated so much that I was very worried about what I was gonna be able to do.
Yeah, but did you do it? Were you the boss of your email this week?
I was, in fact, the boss of my email this week. And it only took like kind of like a half a day to really, well, okay, look, it took a whole day. But
only one day.
It took one day, and I committed to some stuff. I'm actually kind of stoked about it.
Okay, well, why don't you tell me about this one day?
Well, Monday. You know, usually when I start my workday, I start at 9 a.m. And I'll go through my inbox, and the first thing I'll do is I'll just remove or archive the emails that don't require my attention. You know, they might be updates from the week or something like that, or, you know, just things that don't require my attention at all. And then, you know, I start from oldest to newest, and then I just go through the emails and I reply to them. Some emails require a little bit of work, you know, like just researching a problem or something like that. And some emails, like, that are timely, sometimes I'm like, ugh, you know, I don't have time to respond to this, so I'll put them back. And, you know, it turns out, you know, I'll end up spending a lot of time on my email because I never truly finish it. So Monday, I try to commit to checking my email 3 times a day. And on Monday, I let my project manager, Sarah, know. I said, hey, just so you know, I'm only going to be checking email 3 times a day. So if you need me and I don't respond right away, that's why. I was going to do it in the morning, then right after lunch, and then just before the end of my day. So Okay. That was what I was going to do. And
sounds like a good plan.
And I got stumbled up. I totally got tangled up on the first day. I kept getting stuck on emails, and I kept my email open, and I was responding to everything. You know, I didn't do great with it. And then after lunch, I tried to, close my email, not respond to it until like 4:30. Before I left for the day. But day two, I said, all right, this is how this is going to go. I'm going to start by just answering the necessary emails. And, you know, if I don't have answers right away to something, I'm just going to say, hey, I'll get back to you on this, and then save it for later, like have it bounce back to me when I can take care of it. So that's what I was doing. And I would do it at 9 a.m. and I could get through my email that first day, or that second day rather, about 30 minutes, 40 minutes or so, just kind of going through the inbox. And then it was very hard to not open the email again. because, you know, I just have this anxiety. Oh my gosh, there, you know, what if something really important came through? You know, what if somebody's pissed? And then I checked it at 1, and then later I, you know, I checked it towards the end of the day, right around 4:30, and the world didn't end.
You're right. We're all still here.
We're all still here, and no one was upset with me. You know, I do have processes in place, and so what I think the other thing that helps me is, so I'm like, okay, well, I'm still getting some of the, like, I'll get support emails that, you know, I have help for. You know, I have support coverage, so I don't need to respond to every single ticket. I can have, like, I have someone who does tickets, like, that's their job. I've been more active, like, passing those things off or creating tickets out of emails that I don't need to respond to. Like, they don't come in as tickets. It's just like, hey, Alex, you know, this, you know, I had a question about this thing. You know, some of that stuff I can, I have help that I can delegate it to, you know, delegate those questions to. So I try to be more mindful about doing that as well, rather than feeling the need to have to answer every single thing that, that comes my way. Does that make sense?
It does. And I have to say, I'm really impressed.
Well, it wasn't easy and I didn't like it, but I did it. I did it the whole week. I did it during the weekday. So I didn't really carry it into the weekend. And then, you know, I have vacation coming up too. So, which, you know, is very timely, but yeah, so that's kind of how I tackled it. You know, I didn't have any hacks or anything. It was just committing to checking 3 times a day and then using the resources that I already had. So that's something that I was able to do. Now, if I didn't have support personnel to forward stuff to, then, you know, that changes things up a little bit. I think just kind of letting go of the reins a little bit and engaging that help was also a big boost.
That makes sense. And how did you feel doing it?
Well, I think the first day, you know, I just kind of still had general anxiety. The following day, you know, Wednesday, you know, I felt pretty good. Like, you know, I had a good read of the stuff that I needed to reply to. And I felt a lot more focused, straight up.
That's good. That's all I could hope for. Are you going to continue limiting the amount of time you check your email?
I am going to try my very, very best. And in fact, I'm going to do better than try. I'm going to say that, yes, I am going to do this 3 times a day. If I can get down to twice a day, I think I'd be even happier with that.
That's awesome. I'm so happy. My face looks like a big smiley face emoji right now.
You know, if anyone was like the big smiley face emoji all the time, that would be you. Like, that is your that is your mode. So that makes me happy that you are happy. I needed to do this because even with certain emails, if you let them linger, which I do, you know, sometimes I'll let emails linger longer than they should. You know, that affects me because I think about it. I'm not present on my other tasks, you know?
Yeah, it's like burning cycles in your brain. Like, you're just constantly thinking, like, I've got to remember to answer that. I've got to get that answer for that person.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be thinking about that all the time. You need to think about it when you're answering them, and that's it.
Yeah, totally. What about yourself? Like, you know, I feel like this is a challenge that you were already doing. You already had a system in place. And, you know, this is something that I have to be mindful of because I know, oh, Natalie checks her email like once a day. So if I really need to get a hold of her, I better text her or send a smoke signal or a raven. So what did you,
raven.
Like, what the heck did you have to do? Like, what was challenging for you?
As we've talked about with some other things, that even when you do get a good process in place and develop some good habits, bad habits can start to sneak in. And that had started happening. I was peeking at my emails a few times a day, but not necessarily answering them, which I think is just, I think personally, that's probably the worst habit that people have, is looking at their emails at times when they have no intention whatsoever of answering them. You know, when you're standing in line getting ready to go into a movie theater and just to kill time, you're like, oh, let me just see what emails I got. Well, now you're never going to enjoy that movie because you're going to be thinking about those 5 emails that you got that you have to answer.
Right.
I got away from doing that and then just tried to really focus on being very process oriented with the emails and not just firing off those, oh yeah, that sounds good, maybe we can do that sometime kind of responses, and really thinking of like, how can I move this to completion? How can I close the circle and end this back and forth email with somebody, and just really thinking about it. So when I go through my inbox, I have like kind of 3 general categories that I put emails into, and this is very informal, but there's stuff that I just need to look at and be aware of, but I don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, like a backup failed on a site. Like, okay, well, let me just keep an eye out if that happens again. Maybe I need to go in and look at something or stuff like that that I just glance at and then archive or delete.
Yeah.
And then there's the stuff that's a big task. Like, oh, can we change the header on this website? With those kinds of things, I'll answer it. Yeah, no problem. I'll get that done. I estimate it'll be done around this day. And then I add that item to my to-do list.
Yeah, solid.
And then there's the kind of in-between emails where it's not a big task, you know, but it's something that maybe I've got to go look up some data, or maybe it's a tiny quick change on a website. And that stuff I try to do just immediately instead of letting it pile up. So if it's going to take 5 minutes or less, I try to just do it right then.
Now, for things, so that's actually my question for you, because, you know, a lot of the requests that I get for things that I'm asked about, or like a support ticket or just a request, you know, as I go through the emails, I'll try to do them right then and there. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, this, like, a lot of this stuff just could be prioritized, and like, this is a low priority, so I don't need to do it now, but maybe tomorrow. Do you have a system of when you do things that come through the email?
Like, are you talking about like the bigger projects or the stuff that's like 5 minutes or less?
I guess with emails, you might have projects that you're working on and you might get requests on those projects. Uh-huh. You might get 5 minute or less requests from other people. You get something from me, which may not be related to a project or anything like that, but it's like an important thing. Like, how do you assess priority? Like, how do you prioritize those items and decide when you'll get to them?
The shorter, quicker things, I just try to do immediately, like as I'm reading my email.
Okay.
Just because I have found that those little tasks like that have a tendency to pile up if you let them.
Yeah.
Like if you try to just say, oh, I'm going to save these all for Wednesday, you're going to spend your entire Wednesday doing that. So I try to just do those right away. The bigger things that I can't get done in 5 minutes, you know, or sometimes I think something's going to be quick, but once I dive into it, I realize it's going to take longer. Those kinds of things, I just move completely out of email into my regular to-do list. And then all of those things get kind of handled and prioritized through a completely separate system, you know, the way that I handle all of my tasks.
Right. That makes sense. And, you know, because the thing is I think the other part to this and is that email, I think, is addicting, which is why it's so hard to back off from it. Because it, for me at least, you know, I think it is addicting, and, you know, it turns into this huge kind of time suck.
It does. And the more email you send, the more email you get. So when you're constantly in your inbox answering stuff immediately, the more people feel like, well, let me just email Alex. He'll answer me right away.
Right.
Instead of being more thoughtful about thinking where they could find information, where I find that when I'm doing my best at my email and really sticking to the once a day rule, I get so much less email overall.
Yeah. And here's something else that I grappled with. I ultimately didn't do anything about this, but would you ever see a point where you would remove like an email app from your phone or something like that?
I keep my email app on my phone just in case sometimes you're just checking into a hotel and you need the confirmation email, or, you know, there's like weird situations that come up from time to time where you just need access to your email, or you're trying to reset a password to log into Instagram or something like that.
Yeah.
So I keep it on my phone, but what I do is I don't have it on my home screen. Like, it's not front and center. I actually have to go searching for it in my apps. And I don't use push notifications on my phone.
Nice. Yeah. And that's a good point. I think some time ago I said, you know what, I'm just going to shut off notifications for just about everything on my phone, except for like news stories and text messages.
Yeah.
And even during the day too, like I'll turn off notifications, like I'll do the priority alerts thing. Mm-hmm. Which basically shuts off everything except for alarms. Because, you know, the one thing I'll say is that, you know, I felt like my work was more focused, that I reduced the number of times I looked at email. So I think I want to try to get down to twice a day. So maybe once in the morning and then once in the afternoon, and then not before the end of the day.
Like maybe once when you first sit down and then once right when you get back from lunch.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I think that's totally doable and that makes sense. And I think one thing is too that when you do knowledge work like you and I do that requires like a good amount of concentration and you're really thinking and solving puzzles, your brain is lazy and it wants to just go and do the thing that's easy, which is why we end up spending so much time doing stuff like email and social media, because it's easy and it's right there and we can just look at it. But if you take that away, you kind of force your brain to do the hard thing, which yeah. It's so resistant to. But if you take away the easy things and remove those as options, then you'll find that you spend a lot more time in that state of flow, really tackling more challenging work, which is more productive and more profitable because nobody's paying you to post on Facebook.
That is an excellent point. And the other thing that I do that I have a question about is, you know, when I first start my workday, like I check email first, and I've thought about whether or not I should do that. You know, maybe I should get into my day, start doing some work first, you know, from the previous day, and then check my email. Like, get some actual work done first, check my email, and then check out.
And I know some people swear by that and really like that model. I think it really depends on you as an individual and what time of day you think you're most likely to be focused
right.
and productive.
Okay.
So for me, it takes me a while to settle into my workday in the morning. You know, I don't drink coffee, so I don't have any caffeine kickstarting my day. So that's why I do emails kind of first thing in the morning, because it's not very taxing. And it's kind of this good way for me to kind of ease into my day and start thinking about work. But I know for other people, that time when they first sit down to work in their morning is their most focused and productive time. And so if you're that kind of person, then I would say it makes sense to put that off until a little later in the day.
Absolutely. No, that I think that's perfect. Well, go us, and you know, if you're listening to this and you did the challenge, we'd love to hear how you dealt with it. So, you know, leave us a comment, send us an email, send us a Raven or Plurk. We're not on Plurk, but if you send us a message through that, that would be great.
You're going to magically send us messages through platforms where we have no account.
Look, I'm not the idea person here, okay? I'm just the person who says things.
Well, that's obvious.
Okay. You know what? That's enough of this hostility. Moving on, Natalie. We have another challenge to talk about this week.
Yay!
The challenge is a bit of a two-parter, okay? So what this is what this comes from is a lot of small business owners that you and I talk to, you know, they might have a logo. They might not have a logo. But in the event that they do have a logo, let's say, they don't have the files anywhere. They just have like the low-res version of the logo. Or they may only even have a business card with the logo on it, which I've seen time and time again.
I've seen that too. Or several versions of a logo with different fonts and colors.
Yep. And you know how that goes. So we get into the design process, you know, where the small business owner's like, okay, we're doing this new site and I would like to have my best logo up there. Here's a business card. Good luck. Because that's all you need. And, you know, for me, it's like, that's very thoughtful. It's very cute. I need more. You know, like that's something you run into as well, right?
Oh, yeah. All the time. And sometimes clients will have to send me 3 or 4 different logo files before we finally get the right one. Because it's just a little disorganized and it's hard to stay on top of everything. That's why we're doing the weekly challenges. Because nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. And, you know, we're kind of doing this as a two-part challenge because this is kind of a significant amount of effort. It's deceptively involved. We kind of took our lumps on the, you know, create an educational product challenge, you know, which was quite a large Herculean task. So this yeah. is kind of like that too, because, you know, it requires potentially some research, some digging through old emails, communicating with people you worked with in the past. But what we're really asking for part one of this challenge is gathering all your design assets, everything that you want to put together for what we call a brand identity kit. This week's challenge is to gather up your logos, your brand colors, things like that, that visually communicate your brand. Starting with putting together a brand identity kit.
We're getting organized, figuring out where we are, what we've got, getting it all together in one place.
Yeah.
And getting ready.
Now, so Natalie, before we even get into that, so some people might not know what a brand identity kit is. And a brand identity kit can mean a few different things to different people. But really, for what my opinion of it is it's a guide. It's a visual guide, a visual identity for your brand. It includes assets like a logo, perhaps an alternate version of your logo, like maybe a mono-colored version of your logo if you have something that's multiple colors, perhaps like an iconified version of your logo, optional. And then perhaps something that describes the brand fonts, the sizing, the colors for the brand, things like that.
And I would include in that anything that you have had printed or designed for your business, like your business cards, your letterhead, any brochures or postcards or anything like that. I would kind of gather that all up as well.
The thing to note, too, is in identity kits, again, they do tend to differ from business to business, from designer to designer even. But even though they are different, a document that describes, let's get redundant here. It should be a document that describes your visual identity clearly. And something that you could hand to any designer that you might want to work with in the future, or a developer or something like that. If you ever need to have shirts made, business cards made, maybe a new website, a mobile app, whatever.
A billboard.
Yes, a billboard. You need several different versions of files for your logo, for your icons, for your fonts, things like that, because designers require these different things to produce the artwork that's going to be used in whatever format it's going to be used in.
Exactly. And you might have one version of your logo that's square, but another one might be more flat and horizontal. Like you said, one might be just in one color, one might be in multiple colors. Depending on what you're putting that logo on, you might need a very simple version or a more complex version. And I think a lot of people have all these different files, but they're just everywhere. You know, they're on an old computer that's sitting in the back of a closet, or they're in Dropbox all over the place, or in a Google Drive. or just in random folders on your computer, but then also scattered all around your office, because we are talking about stuff you've already had printed as well, to gather that all up and get it all together in one place.
Absolutely. And there are business owners who technically they don't have like an actual logo. You know, they just have a simple mark. It might just be text, which is totally fine. But, you know, I found that, you know, everyone wants a logo. You know, everyone wants a strong mark that visually communicates their presence. Something that's memorable, something that instills confidence when you look at it. So there are folks out there, you know, business owners who don't have that. For them, perhaps, if you're a business owner who doesn't have like a proper logo yet, then perhaps just doing some research, like gathering some research on logos that you like and reasons why you like them, maybe gathering up some logos you don't like and why you don't like them, maybe thinking of some colors that speak to you about your brand, or understanding what those colors are, right? So what are some other things that people who don't have assets already, what can they start gathering?
They can start basically making like a mood board.
What's a mood board?
It's where you kind of gather up all these different things that you like and put them in one place. And then when they're all together, sometimes, not all the time, but often, some general themes start to emerge when you kind of see everything all together in one place. And that can give a cue for a direction that you could take for, if you're going to hire a designer, you could share this mood board with them and they can use the inspiration from that for colors and typefaces and shapes and motifs and things like that, that they might include in a design for you.
Yeah, that's excellent feedback too. So I think for the challenge this week, it's just as we noted here, if you already have a logo, then I think it's important to gather whatever logo files you have, whether they exist in email, on your computer somewhere, gather them up in one folder. Any other brand, visual brand assets that you have, like letterhead or anything like that, grab that all, put it in one place that you can easily get to.
So you've got a nice starting point.
Yes, a nice starting point, which can help you for part two, which we'll talk about maybe in our next episode or maybe in a couple episodes from now. We haven't decided yet because we're edgy that way.
Yeah, we like to fly by the seat of our pants.
That's right, the seat of our ass. Oops, sorry. Oh, dang it to heck, Natalie. I totally swore I wasn't going to execrate, and yet I did. Dang it to heck. Well, I said ass, and I just said it again.
You should be like, I said A-S-S.
That's not better. That's not better. If you don't have a logo, if you don't have design assets, you don't have a letterhead, then, as Natalie suggested, maybe start creating a mood board. And this is something that you can simply do in Google Docs or Microsoft Word. You know,
you could do it on Pinterest.
That is such a good hack. You can create a Pinterest board where you start saving a bunch of things that you like. And that's super helpful to designers when you say, oh my God, I have this board that I created on Pinterest with all these things that I like. Please look at that. This is my inspiration for the logo. That's brilliant.
You know, the last time I got a tattoo, when I said, oh, I have a Pinterest board for inspiration for my tattoo, the tattoo artist was like, that is my favorite thing when people have a Pinterest board.
Now, Natalie, for that tattoo, though, instead of getting Mr. Snuffle up against, didn't you get like a beheaded Godzilla tattoo, like eating a cupcake instead? And that's like all across your back.
Actually, it's a beheaded Alex Vasquez.
Oh, wow. That got... Holy shit, that just got dark.
And swore again.
And homicidal. Well, it's a good thing I am not doing this close by you. Holy crap. That's your challenge this week, everybody. Will I be back for next week's challenge? I don't know, frankly.
Natalie, you know what? If you don't like technology, you can get a big stack of old magazines and a glue stick and make your mood board that way.
Yeah, yeah, go old school. Go old school. And that's a great idea too. So you can go to the local bookstore, hit up the periodical section and just get in there, start buying some magazines and, you know, invest in yourself and start cutting and pasting and boom, and there you go. Like it, whatever it takes, right? Like we don't have to be fancy, we don't have to be high tech here. You know, we just need to take what's available to us.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel pretty good about this challenge.
I do too, and I know I'm a designer, but yeah. I can tell you I've got at least 3 different versions of the purple pen logo, and I don't know where any of them are off the top of my head. They're definitely yep. not organized in a neat place, and I have to go search every time I need it for something. I've got to search through a big mess and find the one I want, and then, oh no, it's the wrong version. So yeah, no shame if your stuff is a mess. Mine is too.
Yeah, yeah. No one's perfect here, so you know we're in it together. We're in it together. So go forth and conquer, children of the corn. Like get out there, get your mood board put together, get your assets together, and like let's get the thing done for this week's challenge.
Get all organized, get your brand all clarified.
Yep, yep. With that said, Natalie, what closing thoughts or comments or requests do you have before we sign it off?
If people have enjoyed this episode and our witty repartee, then they can subscribe by going to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or wherever you like to subscribe to the best podcasts in the world.
Yeah, that sounds pretty darn good. And, you know, be sure to visit our site at thedoweeklypodcast.com. And don't forget to say hi to Natalie's podcats, who are both very nice, furry bundles of joy, who vomit a lot.
Would you stop saying they vomit a lot? They're both sleeping. They're both curled up in little circles. Sound
asleep. I heard one of them vomiting.
No, you didn't. They're sound asleep.
Sure they are. So for Natalie MacLees, this is Alex Vasquez and the Do Weekly Podcast. We're reminding you, keep it doable, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Do I ever know anything?
No, you sure don't.
No, I sure don't. Now do I?
I learned to say that when I lived down south. They never just say no as an answer to a question. It's always no, I sure don't.
No, I sure don't.
You could be like, do you sell root beer here? No, honey, we sure don't.
We sure don't never.